Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
But right now, let's spend a little time with Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, the weekly newsletter with all kinds of commentary, the likes of which you hear in our Mincing Rascals podcast. Eric joins us every Wednesday and will be on stage with us later in the month for our show at Second City. Hi, Mr. Zorn. How are you?
I'm good, John. I'm relieved to tell you that my son and his girlfriend have escaped Burning Man.
My son asked me over the weekend, he says, have you seen the images out of Burning Man? And I said, yeah, that's crazy. I said, who goes to that thing? My next conversation was with you saying, hey, my kid's there. So tell me what Burning Man is and tell me who goes there, Eric.
As I understand, I've never been, but I understand it's this countercultural experience that started, I think, on a San Francisco beach, you know, 20-some years ago. And you go there and you can't buy anything. It's all done with bartering, and it's very crunchy, it sounds like to me.
Crunchy.
New agey and, unreconstructed hippies and things like that. I mean, and my son doesn't fit that model at all, really. He lives in Manhattan. He's not like that so much, but he is someone who he's 33, and he and his girlfriend just seize adventure wherever they can. They're always traveling. They're always doing stuff, and they decide they're going to go to Burning Man. And we were all interested in their preparations, which were elaborate, because you have to go there, and you pack everything in and pack everything out, and you have to bring your own food and water and everything else. And then you're supposed to leave the place completely pristine. That the idea is that you go there, and you commune with people, and you trade food, and you entertain one another, and there's it's an incredible barter economy. And I posted a tweet this morning in my newsletter, which was meant to make fun of this thing. It says being trapped at Burning Man seems almost as bad as being trapped in a conversation with someone who went to Burning Man. which is the people who go there can be really insufferable about what a great experience it is. And I have been trapped in some of those conversations over the years. So my son's girlfriend decided to go, and I was looking forward to hearing their report. And then this news began breaking about I guess there wasn't a whole lot of rain, but there was way more rain than they're used to getting. It's in the desert, north of Reno, in Nevada, and this is like they got a couple of inches of rain, maybe half an inch of rain, something like that.
I heard half an inch of rain.
Yeah, and it just turned the place into a complete mud pit that they just are they're utterly unprepared for rain there. They've had dust storms in the past, evidently, but not rain like this. I was not worried about him because, first of all, there are lots and lots of really rich and important people who go to Burning. So Chris Rock was there, for instance, and there's some music stars that are there. No one's going to let those people die, you know. I mean, they would have dropped food in and water in if it had been necessary.
It's funny because the press reports said that the people at Burning Man, 70,000 of them, mind you, in the Nevada desert, are being advised to conserve food, fuel, and water. I thought, this isn't Bangladesh. It's a bunch of smart people who went to Nevada for a weekend. So the sudden sense of urgency or emergency was surprising to me, but I guess if you run out of water in the desert, it can be dire, huh?
Yeah, well, you're supposed to bring in your own food and water and everything else. So if you have to stay a few more days than you thought you were going to stay, you might run out. Now, I guess the ethos there is that everyone is sharing and helping each other and so on. I wasn't too concerned. I did see someone else on Twitter or whatever they're calling it now, X, who said that things got so bad at Burning Man that some people were eating gluten.
Eric, you get to say these things because it's your kid there, but I appreciate your observations. By the way, Chris Rock was there. Cindy Crawford was there. Diplo was there. Austin Butler was there. The list goes on. So we have to save them. Then maybe the guy that sang Rich Men of Richmond was there, or North of Richmond was there. I'm not sure. There have been conflicting reports, but So your son goes there with his girlfriend. They're hanging out. They get the rain. Here's what I don't understand. They said that nobody would be allowed to come in anymore because I guess it was this quagmire. You don't need more people. But they
said without working toilets, right? Yeah, I mean that was the other thing. The toilets weren't working.
Out. It sounded like they closed the road, like you couldn't exit the place either. Do you know much about that?
I had heard that also, and I've been following the Twitter feed out of Burning Man and seeing what the official announcements have been, and they were saying this morning that it's going to take 5 hours just to get out of the queue to leave the camp. And my son and his girlfriend apparently they were in really bad test. There's very bad Wi-Fi there. Evidently, part of the thing is you're unplugged when you're there. So they were trying to set up some Wi-Fi, and we got a text from them on Saturday morning just saying, we're okay, don't worry. And then, of course, we were a little concerned. I was never extremely worried, but it's like you don't want to see your kid go through something hellish. And,
sure.
And then nothing, and then nothing. And then we got a text this morning saying, we're in Reno. We made it out overnight. So, I wanted him to come on the radio with us today, and they said they were probably going to be asleep. And I just texted them, and I haven't heard back. So that they're probably exhausted from the experience. But I'm really interested. You know, said like this is going to have us. He's going to have a good Burning Man story to tell that people are not going to be bored by when this is all said and done. It's reminiscent. Remember the? Did you see any of the documentaries on the fire festival?
Sure, that was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, and this. Of course, the Burning Man's been going on for a long time now. I think it's 20 years. And the Fire Festival was just a disaster one time, I guess.
Bordering on fraud. I mean, Fire Fest was never going to happen successfully. This thing has. So there's that difference, right?
Right. And I'm curious, and I really want to ask my son this, whether he had a good time, whether it was fun to be there.
Right.
It doesn't sound like my kind of thing at all, but whether it's fun to be there. And even if it was fun to be there at first, would you go back knowing that it could rain and you'd be stuck in this swamp for days past when you wanted to leave? Would you go back? And is this going to be the end of Firefest? I tend to think not, because people tend to have short memories. I'm the guy who thought that people would never shake hands again after COVID. Shaking hands, I tend to go right to the most dire thoughts. But I wonder if the thing is going to continue, given this, or if they're going to make some preparations, like paved road to get there. Because the thing is that the roads out to the Fire Festival, to Burning Man and back, were not paved, and that's why they turned into muck. And so that was it was really impossible to get people in and out, and that seems like a real health hazard. And one of the things I'm interested in is whether so far there's been one death, and they say that it was unrelated to the storm. People, when you get 70,000 people together for a week, the odds that somebody might die for some reason are not tiny. But are there going to be long-term health issues here? Because it doesn't sound like the conditions were all that sanitary for the last couple of days.
Again. But you may be right about something there, that in this day and age, I haven't thought about being in a large group of people for a long time. I'm past that now. Like, I would go to a crowded movie theater, I would go to a crowded concert, but 70,000 people with porta potties, maybe I would think twice about just the wisdom of that. I'm of a certain age, and maybe I'm not the intended audience for that sort of thing. Let me do this, Eric. I got to pause. I want to come back and just ask you for the last results of your Never Have I Ever poll in Chicago. You asked the readers of your Picayune Sentinel, what is that one Chicago thing you've never done that'll shock people when they find out? So on the Picayune Sentinel, you said, why are you doing this Never Have I Ever thing again?
Well, what happened was that our friends at Axios, Axios Chicago, had this thing where they were saying like they were going to do Never Have I Ever in Chicago stuff that they thought that they should have done. All the people who were involved in that are veteran Chicago journalists, and they've been around forever, and all these things. And suddenly they realized there are things they haven't done in Chicago that everybody else has done. And so they were exploring with that idea, just doing some things like our friend Carrie Shepherd went down to the Pedway. She'd never been in the Pedway after all her years here. And Monica Ang took an architectural boat tour, just for instance. So I thought, well, this is a good concept. I'm going to ask people what they consider to be the quintessential Chicago experiences. What are the one things that you should have done if you're here in Chicago? And I wasn't asking what they had never done. I just wanted to know what people considered to be the quintessential experiences. I took the top 13 vote getters and I put them in a poll that's just out this morning, a click poll. And I said, which ones of these have you done and which ones haven't you done? And these are the ones that the top 13 quintessential experiences. So it turns out that of course, so far, now I'm going to keep the vote going for another week or so, but right now in early returns, it looks like eating a deep dish pizza is the never have I ever that's going to shock people the most of the top 13 experiences
That means that while they would say yes, that's the quintessential Chicago experience or one of them. In fact, are they saying that, or are they saying not only that, but also they've never done that?
This is the number of people who have not done that is very small. That's the one that's going to when you go to a party and say, I've lived in Chicago all these years, I've never eaten a deep dish pizza, that's the one that's going to shock people the most.
Yeah, I'll say.
the next one up from that is toward the Museum of Science and Industry. That if you haven't done that, you know, that's one that's likely to win the never have I ever game.
Yeah,
you know,
you're an outlier.
You try to be an outlier. And the one that people of all the experiences, the one that most people have not done is going to the St. Patrick's Day parade. They consider that a quintessential Chicago experience, but a lot of people haven't done that. You're not going to win the never have I ever game with the St. Patrick's Day parade. So
put another way, though, the top three are toured the Art Institute, eaten a deep dish pizza, and toured the Museum of Science and Industry. So most of us have done those things. But if you haven't, boy, you ought to go get that done. If I may, I'll just quickly sprint through the other things on your list. Art Institute, Deep Dish Pizza, Science and Industry, ride the L through downtown, go on Lower Wacker Drive, Architecture Boat Tour, Millennium Park, Lincoln Park Zoo, Cubs game at Wrigley Field, top of Willis Tower, eat an Italian beef sandwich, and go to one of the big St. Patrick's Day parades. Have you done all of those, Eric?
I have done all of them. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
So,
which is
except maybe the St. Patrick's Day parade. I'm trying to remember. I know I've been downtown when they dyed the river green, but I don't think I've actually been at the parade.
I'm checking that box because I've been to the dyeing of it, but I don't know if I've gone to the South Side for the parade or not. Pete's looking at me like you'll have to turn in your citizenship card, but I'm trying to remember now. Isn't that weird? I've seen so much of it and I've done so many of these things. I'm trying to remember now if I've stood there and clapped or not. But okay, I'm out of time, Eric. Any last thing you want to pass along before we say thank you and we'll talk to you on the podcast?
No, I'm really looking forward to the podcast this week. And I hope to see all the listeners at Second City in a couple weeks.
708, about a year ago, I took my 94-year-old friend to the coal mine at the Museum of Science and Industry. He lived in Chicago his whole life and had never been there. A walker and all. And we had a great time. I was at Science and Industry a few weekends ago, and we went to the submarine. And I don't know if you've been there in the last 5 or 10 years, whatever, but it's staged differently than the first time I saw it. I mean, it's there, but the trappings and walk around are better. It's amazing how good that is. So pay attention, because if your ticket tour says 11:30, it says be there at 11:15. We were there at 11:20 for the 11:30, and they said, no, you missed your thing. So there's just a little tip on how to make sure you pay attention to your ticket time. All right, Mr. Zorn, I will talk to you tomorrow on the Mincing Rascals podcast, and we invite everybody to join us at Second City. Go to wgnradio.com/rascals, okay?
Talk to you, John. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.